5. Greetings, Commander.
Are you on the job?
No. I think so.
I didn't mean to push. I only know one person that can push harder than I do and talk faster, and that's Jack Miller. Hats on. In radiance. I'm honored that you have come to visit. It's like having family home. There's so much going on that I feel I have to move right along. Maybe we can touch on some highlights. I would especially appreciate it if some parts of this tape can be, well, more than duplicated, maybe if they can be typed off. I have two or three questions that have come to me of a spiritual nature, and of course that's my forte. I'm not much into patriotism or crime. I'm a little torn, just as you ones are, when information flows through and I have to go and do a little research on a few things myself before I can actually say, yes, that's valid, this is not. Because in almost all information, there will be some validity and some invalidity. That's the nature of the game, and that's the way it is when you get a name like Ippolito, and it's spelled I-P-P, and you are recognizing the name Ippolito by E-P-P, and then I believe you've got an Ippolito who is a baseball player. So when ones just send information rattling through and wanting my opinion on it, it's a little bit difficult. And I am so pleased to find that the Canadians still love us enough to come.
That's because of NAFTA.
Open border. No freedom for anybody. You see, equal, no freedom. Don't be patriots. That's the first and biggest statement that I have to make to you. Do not hang out there daring the world because you're going to be a patriot. There's a big difference in being a patriot and being patriotic and loving your nation. They've done with patriot, the word, exactly what they did with chauvinism. A man is supposed to be a chauvinistic pig if he infers that a woman might well do her job, because that sort of is the thing that there is a division of sexes. To say that black is white is stupid. Black is the absence of color. White is the presence of all color. So they cannot be the same, but they are equal. They each are equally a color. Viva la women. For goodness sakes, they are the nurturing producers of your own species. Now you ask me why they have to go out there and make a living also. Cannot there be some meeting of minds on this subject? Because while you are struggling for your identity, I'm just trying to find myself, you're losing all identity. You're being manipulated by the manipulators who can control you. Be a citizen demanding your constitutional rights under the Constitution in law. But everyone who lists themselves as a patriot are now listed as a domestic terrorist. Or if you're across the border into Canada, you're a domestic terrorist. There you are a foreign terrorist here. Don't let it bother you. Just be careful what you do. They're out to get you. There is no reason for them to get you. And pretty soon, ones began to turn away, say, from us. I don't know why. They're not thinking. That's why. This is the safest, coziest, most wonderful place you can be. The ones out there who manipulate your world, let us call it the Khazarian Miss Puka element, don't think that anybody's going to reach through to any of the masses as far as spirituality is concerned. They don't feel threatened. And they know that we're not going to advocate arms under any circumstances. That's not God. It gets very technical when you get down to having arms for protection of self, because you fear someone's going to break in your doors, and that is a valid fear. Unfortunately, the ones that are going to probably break in your door to find your gun are going to be the SWAT teams, the BATF, the United Nations, peacekeepers, etc. You have to face the fact that they ran a poll amongst the Marines as to who would, if they were ordered into a gun confiscation program, who would shoot? Might be your neighbor. Will you shoot a citizen to confiscate a gun or other contraband? And you better hold your breath, because one out of four said they would. Now, if you watched 60 Minutes, you know there is an element of the military, which they're calling now the fringe lunatic element. I don't call them anything. But if you think you are going to take this world back after all of these myriads of years through force, you're wrong. That does not mean that you might not be able to defend a little pocket here or there. But if you want to see what's going on, here's Mr. Bo Greitz. Everybody maybe want to look at this. It just came, brought it back from Las Vegas. They don't quote you right. Bo is talking about, you know, bringing charges against ABC or NBC or who, Leslie Stahl anyway, because he's misquoted. They're not going to quote you correctly. That's the name of the game. And Ron Jackson can get up and say, I am a patriot, and this is the year of the patriot, all he wants to. He only makes our job and his more difficult. Not because he's not a patriot in the truest sense of the word, but because a patriot proclaiming patriotism is now a domestic terrorist. Now, we've had some really interesting information coming through that I haven't had time to either get into the paper or sort out, really. You have a real big trade problem looming with Japan. Well, the Japanese were very instrumental in the bombing of the Oklahoma federal building, Oklahoma City. Now, that doesn't even make sense, does it? The Koreans are also involved. Note the Vietnam situation. All in the news right now on Satan Day. It's happening. Clinton is nothing but a silly little puppet. Every day we warn Jim Guy Tucker You're dead men. You better start doing something for the citizens. And they went right ahead at the orders of Clinton and executed Richard Snell. Did Richard Snell really know very much? He knew enough. He had witnessed some offloading of drugs in one of the little by out of the way airstrips. But you see, it all boils down to when Clinton makes his statement, I executed two recently. One was such and such and Richard Snell. Well, Richard Snell is going to execute Mr. Clinton, I can guarantee you. And it's going to be hard to blame him, isn't it? Because he's no longer around. So we are going to throw all of the support that we can possibly muster behind Larry Nichols. All of the help that we can get to bring the truth out. He doesn't need to deal in projects or operations that he does not have documentation on. He's got enough on Clinton personally, and he's out to get Clinton personally. Don't misunderstand Larry Nichols. He is not, and he will tell you, I am not doing this because I am a patriot. This is my nation, and I'm going to do it because it's my nation, but I'm going to get that man. I worked with him. I worked for him. I did the bookkeeping. I even, he said, set up the elections for fraud. This isn't going to look good, is it? And now this man's on radio talk shows around the clock. Truth will bring these assholes to their knees. Terry Reed has plenty of information and documentation. You see, Bernanke's now gone. Bernanke is the one who flew. Oh, my. When my outlying friends come, I want to catch everybody up. And I can't even catch up to last week to my own people right here. Bernanke is one who flew Bush to Paris. Gunther Rosbacher may or may not have flown with him in the co-pilot seat. I'm not going to comment on that because of the lies coming out of the Rosbacher camp. If you have enough lies coming out of any one resource, then as far as I am concerned, that source is no longer valid for anything. And the saddest part of the Rosbacher debacle is what continues to go on. And Rosbacher continues to write his letters as if this is still a CIA operation. I cannot believe that anyone dares do what they did and still in publications with Edie Koenig still denounce EJ for somehow being bad and lying about them. There must be $50,000 those two ran up against EJ personally. And American Express doesn't smile nicely and say, well, Mr. Ecker, I'm sorry that Mr. Rosbacher stole your money, but we want to be paid, or else. So there's nothing to say except, well, or else, sir. So you end up with absolutely no emergency backup whatsoever. And still, almost every evening will come another fax where these statements are still being made. Now, Norma was trying to get a little bit of information just before this meeting. Because, you see, let me just tell all of you, back when we started working on a project in the Philippines, and Russ Bakker reared his serpent head. Actually, it isn't him. He is so addled, he doesn't know which end of him is up. He is a consummate liar. And so I guess so is Ray Ellen. Things were going just fine. An opportunity to reach out a little farther than the ongoing operations in the Philippines that were well covered. Things were going very slowly, but it was political, and it was at least being able to be tracked. So we needed a bank that could possibly handle great sums of money. And obviously, Russ Bakker is an Austrian citizen. Can we use your bank? Oh, I know I can do all this. Well, actually, he did. He made some calls, and pretty soon you've got Austria going to buy the world and all the gold in it. So after a while, after all of the delusions, illusions, and for goodness sakes, just flat lies, you don't know what to believe. But now Mr. Russ Bakker comes through and says, well, the white robe operation is completed. Say what? What white robe project? Oh, this is the one that's going to get all of the world back on the gold standard. Repeat again what the name of this project is. Oh, white robe. Seems to me that White Robe was our project, and if it is completed, I want to tell you something about Mr. Russ Bakker. He better run for the hills. And I'd like to know how he can do it after having been sentenced to 2.5 years more in prison. Does this mean that I'm not on Gunther's side? Well, I guess at the moment I'm not on Gunther's side. We can get along just fine as long as people are honest. Don't lie about me, and I won't lie about you. And we'll all survive. This is not some kind of a commune center, and it certainly is not a poorly paid CIA operation. My people all wish it were. It seems like the CIA has a bottomless black bucket, but they sure don't share it with us. But we're not an organization of that sort, and that is what has saved you. I know everyone would like to get on a list, a membership list, other than just a subscription list. So that I am a member of your church. I have no church. Church to me indicates the body of God in its finest form of the word. But that's not what it means in your literal form of the word. It just simply means a group, a cult, a gathering. So we have a team. Our job here is to write. And to bring things to you that you may need to get through this period of time. And we'd like to bring them to you so that it can help you make a living while we are getting there. Because obviously when you come up against the receiving of large sums of money, my goodness gracious, it gets difficult. But once you lose that attitude of it's going to just fall on me, then you begin to be creative. And together we can make it. It may not be like you think you would like to make it, but by the time the rest of the world is folding up, you will be making it just fine. And I have agreements with my enemy. And as long as you are on my team, they are going to leave you alone. For the most part. Doesn't mean they're not going to shoot lasers at you. It doesn't mean they're not going to try to ruin your day. It means that they have me to face if they get too far off the deep end. And they try. They really try. Now, I want all of you to know that I sent Dorma to the parole hearing. Anybody want to get it or...
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, we're hooked up.
I don't know whether to interrupt my speech and give you the one that I had anticipated giving to you or what. I don't want to burden your life, but there's going to be some more investigation into the Nevada corporate structure. I really would appreciate it, Court, if you would begin to now branch out a little bit and look into the corporation laws of Wyoming. I think you're going to find that they are adjusting their laws a little bit so that you can have almost as good or equal coverage in Wyoming, and this will give people an opportunity to maybe deal in two states, which covers them a little more completely if you're going to have more corporations. So I didn't ask permission to discuss this, Court, so everybody in here is, you know, I'm a little embarrassed.
Permission from who?
Anybody in the room.
Okay.
I'm sure that most in the room are sitting, and why in the world is he off on Wyoming? But I think that you will understand that.
I understand it, and
okay.
I think they know the significance of your guidance, so they'll be on track.
Well, I think it's time to give a little more protection. The reason that I feel that is what is emerging with the George Green situation. And so while you're here, I may as well enlighten a little bit about that as more and more questions were and answers, discussion, if you will, with John Schreffer. There was to have been a hearing this morning. Gene is not ready yet to give his report. When he gets back, we'll find out how that went. It seems to have been postponed some way. John is not sure exactly what happened. But you see, as this is unfolding, and John said, well, you know, I don't know why George called me to Carson City, because I just kept trying to figure out what it was he wanted. And of course, the answer is money. No, he did not ask for money. So in the unfolding, and I want this, because I'm out here in the middle of a room with a lot of witnesses, and I want it known what happened. Because John is having to piece together things in a injured mind. He was struck over the head. John literally does, and it was talked about yesterday, have the right to bring charges for an investigation for attempted murder on his person. And his mind doesn't connect with everything. He will remember things for 1 minute, and then they're gone, and then they'll come back. But he's doing beautifully, but it's taking a little long in the unfolding. And all of you have been involved with the Institute, the George Green, the Gold, Dave Overton, etc. Well, you're going to have to know that an awful lot of gold flowed through George Green. He literally had his own plan in operation. So what has worked out, and John can and has verified this. No, what George Green wanted was them to pull all the assets they had out of the Institute in gold. And all of you will remember that that's the way the demand was first worded. Well, it was never worded any other way. We want it in gold. George Green was going to take the gold, use it as his asset, borrow against it for his development building project, and issue some stock, but he would end up with all the gold. Now, this worked well with Eleanor. Eleanor and her stepson, after they had bonked John on the head, went and dug up his gold, dug up his silver, emptied all of the survival foods that he had out onto the hot driveway, and literally lost all the food to find the silver collections. So they ended up with probably, $250,000 at least in coins, which were to go to George Green. Now, ones have wondered how it was that in deposition, Dorma was asked about seven documents that George Green had said Dorma forged his name to these documents, and they all had to do with Schrafer. And, of course, Dorma would never remember having done it, but she could so perfectly sign Walter Russell's name that she signed George Green's name. Well, everybody was so busy at that table trying to figure out what in the world this idiot is talking about to not read the documents. They were the originals of some stolen documents that Eleanor had taken, and this had to do with any investment or money or anything. George Greensea served as their trustor. And then, of course, Patricia had ended up with some that probably came from Eleanor, but she only had 4 or 5 pages. These people in Nevada came up with 7 pages of documents. Well, you're going to find that some of those are notes basically from George Green against the gold. So you won't ever know how much he got, but I don't believe that it's fair that John Schrafer not get his property and not have it accounted for. And so all of you who keep just pounding your head and saying, why does George just keep going and keep going, and why doesn't he give the books back? He can't. He's in too deep. It isn't a matter of $350,000 with Dave Overton. Dave Overton's 80. He isn't going to give George any trouble. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute, because Dave is interested in karma, and I'm interested in talking about it. But you see, there are other people who sent gold to George. I can roll it over for you without tax consequences, is what George told everybody. And then I can send it to Puerto Rico, which he was. He was funneling a lot of stuff through Puerto Rico and on to Costa Rica. But he was working with someone, I believe, named Hernandez, if you check it out, in Puerto Rico. And therefore, you can work and you can utilize that gold as collateral. But at the time that all of this happened with John, the price of gold was quite low. And George was hanging on to it because he knew it was going to at least $2,000 an ounce. So he made his notes to Eleanor and Rod McBroom, etc., the Eleanor Family Trust, against that gold at the price it was. So it's interesting, isn't it? And since corporation structures have held so well in everything that we've done, tested under fire and dynamite, people, it works. It is your protection. And if you don't use it correctly, you're going to get hanged, and George Green's going to do it. I don't mean he's going to hang you. He's going to get hanged. He has done it all wrong. He has gone to court and lied, and he finally ended up lying to the bankruptcy court, which is a federal court, and they frown on that. He is probably going to go to jail. And while Eleanor and Rod McBroom You see, it never made sense to anybody, and I kept trying to get you ones to think. I kept trying to get John to think. Because he's the one that has got to stand in that court of law and tell his story. So all of you will remember that John cut out of that place on July 4th of last year. The reason that it's so obvious in the mind is it was your patriotic holiday. And it's your day of independence. And John said, enough's enough, and he got out of there. He walked out of there. But he walked out of there without a sign on him. No identification. Let me tell you what was planned. All of you will also remember who were in the room that following weekend, or maybe even the prior weekend, I don't remember. And there were some people from Los Angeles who came and said they had just been in Prater's office, who is an attorney for George Green, and met with George Green. And they came up here to find out what the hell this is all about. And so ones of you had to figure out, well, are they spies or are they what? Well, just God works in interesting ways. Just assume it. And they said they just met with George Green on the day before, and he was on his way to Costa Rica. Now, let's put the other half of this story together. They smuggled John out on a weekend from Bakersfield in that Alzheimer's Center and spirited him away to a place in Sacramento. There's no need to bring up these names, but one is Hearthstone, the other is Cape Cod, I believe. When Gene Dixon tracked him down, and I mean it meant going through the phone book, making hundreds of calls until he found a place, we finally got an inkling that John was somewhere in the Sacramento area. And Gene Dixon was given a job, find him, and find him now. They had broken a court order and taken him away. And now nobody would say where he is. You can't get the courts to work. So it was a matter of sleuthing and finding him and bringing enough information that you could get a ruling from the court if you had to. Well, when Gene was able to locate him, Gene went to see him and took his little boy. And had a nice visit with John and came on back and made a report, etc. And I told him then, be prepared. Be prepared. Get something into court. Get something done. They're going to move him and get rid of him. So on the day that John left, the reason that it showed the way it did in the books of Cape Cod, and they have written their report, is that someone came and they asked John to identify the person. He said, it's my brother. Well, actually, all anyone could figure was it was his son. He has a son, John, down in San Diego. Keep in mind, Costa Rica, George Green, L.A., John Schraefer Jr. in that San Diego area meeting. How interesting. What they planned to do, and George Green wanted cover for it, and sent those people out here to make damn sure we knew that George Green was supposed to be in Costa Rica. Bullshit. They had already made arrangements for somebody to pick John up, like John Jr., somebody to go in there and pick him up and take him to lunch. That was on the paper. Somebody was going to take him out. So the people there, and it turned out to be, as nearly as we can tell, a temporary person, one that just came in to fill in for the holiday because the other lady was sick. That would have been the end of John Schraefer Sr., period. Now, you think I'm not incensed that this would go on with a brother of mine? That was going to be the end of John Schraefer. If they ever found him, If you ever found him, you would never know it. He would have been turned out exactly the way he left that place, with no identification, not 1 cent, an addled mind, less addled than they thought, than they calculated, because he knew where to go and he knew who to get in touch with. But he had to borrow money to even make a phone call. Absolutely no identification. So you can know that John Schrafer would have been found somewhere off some freeway, either dead or totally without any identification. Now, I'm telling you, that is not godly, and I don't like it. And I don't like for John to have to sit here and listen to me repeat this, because this was all said yesterday. John knows it. John knows it, and John can now testify, because every minute of every day he is remembering more clearly. And you have reached a new low when the ones who come forth saying, "I serve God," are after the almighty last gold bit. That's pretty low. And I want, please, Gene, to work with John to let John make an affidavit to this effect. He has asked me over and over again, "What happened to me? What happened to me? Please tell me." And I said, "No. You will remember in time, John, and then you will tell us, and then you will be able to testify." And he remembers. It's still a little foggy, and under pressure, he's still stressed. But the man almost died. They were also poisoning him. They were also driving him crazy, deliberately. And I'm just pleased that pieces that these stupid idiots put it in writing. Because you're going to find in those 7 pages of documents, which may now have to be subpoenaed, you're going to find some of that money covered. Are you still with us, Court? No. Your corporate structure will hold. If you ask John, "What about your corporation?" He doesn't have a corporation. "Well, don't you have stock in a corporation?" "No, I don't have anything." And they've done John even a bigger favor. They have gone and sworn poverty. They put him in an Alzheimer's center as a pauper. And then his brother, his family, Eleanor, everyone said he had lost every cent that he and she had. But the interesting thing was, they were right back to court to try to get everything they thought he might have in a corporation. Just keep trying. Obviously, he's too addled to remember. They have sworn in court that he is too addled to remember. And he doesn't have a corporation, because there isn't any stock. And he lost all the money, by their words. But fortunately for John, unfortunately for them, there are plenty of records from the other side. Out of about $500,000 estate at least, John has $300 listed on his side of the paper. I'm sorry, people. This is personal. I'm speaking of it in public. John grants me that permission as he sorts out his life. These are the examples you better hear. Because these are the examples that will prove to you, this is a very personal case, but it has all the intrigue of a Peyton Place. From attempted murder to get assets to attempted, you know, arsenic and old lace, just poison him a little bit, put his papers out, then go hide them, and then reproduce them. This is mind control. And so Dorma said, what did Rod McBroom do? Was he in the government? And John says, well, he worked in something. It doesn't matter, Lockheed, somewhere. Guess what? In mind control programming. So you think they don't know what they're doing? And this is Little Tehachapi? Well, Little Tehachapi just had the first case of diagnosed pneumonic plague in the United States since about 1924-27. And that's why we're on top of the colloidal silver gold. And so I'll get off John a minute here, but you have to understand that I'm going to rattle in all facets and all directions because I have my team back and there are a lot of things that need to be covered. We are colloidalizing the silver with, I would just generally, with measurements that we have. It will be to the chemist so that there will be an exact measurement. We're making it at least four times as strong as anything on the market. We are colloidalizing it until it begins to clump and sink. We're going to saturate it. We are adding gold. We have to list it as a trace. It is a harmless element, but it may make even the small amount of gold that we put in the colloidalized silver may make it a little bit cloudy. We're not going to color our stuff, and we're not going to give you a half-assed product. We are not in the product business. We are in the business of trying to save some lives. When this kind of a disease hits, it is so potentially devastating. And to treat it, I cannot depend on colloidalized silver to do the job. So we're going to offer the colloidalized silver with the gold because I can make a frequency in the gold that will knock out the zinc molecule which holds the capstone or the cap onto a virus. And this is a tampered with, tremendously genetically altered virus. And it's carried by all your little endangered species so that you're going to get a $400,000 or $200,000 ticket if you get rid of one of them. Now, this is deliberate. And we're starting here and we're starting right now. And I have really pushed, unmercifully, really. But, you see, it's amazing. If I can draw a simple diagram and I can show, then there are ones who can take that and interpret it and do it.